The Lord has opened Ghana to us massively. He was so generous with His grace and His mercy. The hearts of many have been turned to the Lord. There is a burden to seek the Lord's face that was shared abroad during the days of that meeting. The venue we used, if you convert to Nigerian currency, was going for 1.3 million per use. 1.3 million. And we used it for 4 days, and we are not in debt. That's, if I'm not mistaken, that's the most pricey hall in the entire Ghana. That place we use. You know, when you come to start a ministry, you don't go to the most pricey places. But we believe the Lord led us there, and He has confirmed it by making supplies available. And so it was a wonderful outing. Africa is hungry for Jesus, and we'll be on the field to ensure that the inhabitants of the land are served that for which they hunger. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. You are welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. So I bring greetings to every one of us in the fold, from Pastor Isaac and Gifty Odame, who happens to be our point functionaries in the nation of Ghana. God is doing great things, and we encourage every one of us not to hide in the shadows. And that gift that God has bestowed upon you is intended to be a tool through which our great Lord will be adorned. So make yourself available for kingdom service in Jesus' mighty name. Alright. Acts chapter 2. From verse 12 I will read. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. And then he quotes a reference. But this is that which was spoken by Prophet Joel. On the day of Pentecost, there was a wonder, there was a marvel that took place. An activity that began from the throne room had invaded the upper room. Because if you read from the book of Acts or the Apostles, you will think that what was taking place in the upper room began in the upper room. The upper room was a mere victim of the real thing that was happening. And when heaven orchestrated an event, because that event was not sponsored by man, it was not an initiative of government, it was not an initiative of wise people, learned people. It had its origin in the throne room, where the seat of administration really resides. The Bible made us to understand in the book of Psalms 110, verse 1 to 3. And the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. It was a kingdom scenario. And the father was discussing with his son and telling the son that now that you have fulfilled the claims of divine justice and you have provided legality for the possibility of redemption, you no longer have any active service on the field. Your place in the kingdom now is going to be administrative. And so the father was ushering the son into an administrative capacity. And he promised the son that it will be his responsibility to ensure that his enemies are brought at his feet. And in the book of Psalms 110, verse 2, he told us how we will achieve that. And the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. So, kingdom things were taking place in the throne room. Policies were being formulated. Directives were being given. Resources were being dispatched. And the victim of all of these heavenly realities was the upper room. Hallelujah. I know there's a lot of excitement. Even the children are excited. But if you find out that there is any child that is overly excited, such that he's capable of affecting the delicate balance of this solemn assembly, wisdom might demand that you go outside. In the name of Jesus. So many strong things were taking place in the throne room, and the upper room was a victim of that which was happening in secret places. That was a day where there was a need for a functionary to arise and bring perspective to what was going on. There was a need for an interpreter to rise up and bring perspective to the things happening. All right? The event that was seen by men was first of all a rushing mighty tornado that hit the landscape. A wild wind from heaven. It hit the landscape. And when people were recovering from the effect of the wind, they saw fire on people's head. Alright? So it's not a natural initiative. Not a natural. It was not the government that sponsored it. So someone will have to rise up and bring perspective. Is this the work of God? If it were the work of God, then one of the prophets should have spoken about it, that the day will come when fire will come on people's head. And if there's no reference to what is going on in the prophets, then we need to, this entire garden is suspect for interfacing with powers in the spirit realm, such powers that happen not to be God. And so there needs to be an interpreter that will rise and bring perspective. But before we go to the comment of the interpreter, I would like us to see other comments still came up that drew my attention. Hallelujah. In verse 13, there says, others mocking said, these men are full of what? Of new wine. It means if you look at them at face value, the way they were operating, it was not too different from people that were drunken with wine. And there were many utterances that they were making that were not articulated utterances, that did not have meaning in the languages, that did not, you know, have the way they were operating. Maybe some were so excited and they were doing like this. So when natural men saw it, this is new wine. It is because of the possibility of spiritual things being misinterpreted and discredited by people that lack understanding that we will need an interpreter. What was going on was a mystery. You will need another level of intelligence to be able to understand it. Are you with me? And if you attempt to explain it from the experience and the civilization of men, what you will say will render what is happening a mockery. It will render it a futility. It will render it a non-essential. And so, one of the participants of this great flood now received an expression of heaven, an impartation from heaven. It is that impartation. It is the spirit of wisdom that he received. How many of you have had a dream before? You dreamt, and then you woke up, and you didn't know the meaning of what you dreamt about. That's happened to you before. What was lacking was the spirit of wisdom. It was through the spirit of revelation you got the dream. But you see, the dream was encoded in a language, in a communication algorithm that was superior to your intellect and your thought pattern. And so when you applied your thought pattern as a means of giving it interpretation, it was insufficient. All right? It means you will need an endowment of another tributary of the grace of God for you to enter into the meaning of the communication that was brought to you. So the onlookers tried to interpret what was going on, and it looked like drunkenness. And if the congregation had held that view, that it was drunkenness, it means the sovereign work of God was going to be trivialized, and the possibility of missing a move of God existed. And then from their midst, an interpreter rose. The reason why I chose this scripture is because if we want to give a theme to 2021, the theme will be revival. The theme will be thy kingdom come. The theme will be thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. But the problem with things that are born from heaven and they are seeking expression upon the face of the earth is that divine things, when it comes to the level of men, can be misinterpreted. So many people are going to misinterpret what God is downloading from heaven. It will come so mightily. Oh, those of you that have been having the privilege to peep into some of the sessions that have been going on in heaven since August, you would have realized that there were many policies that heaven was seeking to reach. There were many assortments of functionaries that were up for consideration, because God had concluded in his heart that he is going to occasion a change of guard. Those of you that are children or related to people that served in the military at one point or the other, not at the higher level, at the lower level of the military. People that man gates and they are sensitive points where security is deployed. In order to keep the security ongoing, there are changes of guard at several points in time. So what happened to the body of Christ, the church, is that there was a change of guard. And you will notice that 2020 was a year of great mourning. Most of our very high-ranking functionaries bowed their head out of the stage of this life during the course of this year. If we take inventory, you will be amazed. You will be shocked. Not just amazed, shocked. How many people went to be with the Lord today that were generals, not just generals, field marshals, in the forefront of their ministry, extending the frontiers of the kingdom of God? So many of them went to be with the Lord this year. That is because, like for somebody like Reinhard Bonnke, for instance, nothing can kill Bonnke. Bonnke cannot be killed. Right? So if such a person bows his head from the stage of this life, it is because of a call. And that is sovereign. It is beyond your capacity to exercise faith. It is a sovereign initiative from heaven, which is a derivative of a policy. So from the month of August, there have been various policies that God was considering to initiate. And for each policy, you know, there's excitement. There's excitement. And so even the children, like, they are out of balance right now. So, but the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, so many policies. One of those policies is what I'm explaining to you, which is what we call the change of guard policy. It is because of the change of guard policy, so many people, so many were called home. It is not as if they didn't have anything else to deliver.
They had so much to deliver. There were so many territories for them to conquer. So many places for them to go to. But because of that policy, heaven decided to retrieve some of his best hands from the earth. Secondly, because of that policy, God initiated the end of a lot of dispensations. You see, when you are called into ministry, there is something called, in Greek, I don't have any name for it in English, it's called oikonomia. You are given an oikonomia. The closest word to oikonomia is distribute. Distribute. Alright? God gives you a deposit, he gives you an economy, and your ministry is the avenue through which you distribute that economy. It's just that, like we have a budget. Right? We have a budget, and then Ministry of Agri is going to spend this much. Ministry of Education will spend this much. Those are distributions from the budget. You know, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible speaks how that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. That's the central bank. That's where the budget is kept. It is from that spiritual cage of blessings that God begins to sponsor and to fund your life and fund your ministry. So what we are doing is the distribution aspect of the economy of God. So every servant of God has an oikonomia. There is a quota. There is a quota of the spiritual resources that are domiciled in heavenly places that your ministry is going to squander towards the achievement of kingdom goals that God has assigned to you. Is that clear? When you exhaust that quota, it means you have finished your dispensation. Whether or not you are 70 years or 90 years, as you want to live, you want to live for 120 years, you want to live for... It's not about years, it's about your oikonomia. It's about your dispensation. So when a certain minister exhausts his dispensation, he's called home. That's one of the options. When you exhaust your dispensation, you can be put on the reserve bench. You are no longer in active frontline ministry. You are brought, you can be brought to the reserve bench where you are doing counseling and apostolic covering services. You are doing intercession and you are doing education. You are no longer in the face of the battle. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It is because you have exhausted your oikonomia. Now, so there are two things that happen when there's a change of guard. It's either some people are called home because oikonomia is exhausted, or some people are removed from the front line and they have consultation services to deploy to the body of Christ in terms of counseling young ministers, training young ministers, and interceding for several territories that were previously locked to become open. Are you there? Now, so all of that began to take shape since August. So now, the decision that has been reached in heaven now is about an outbreak of the Holy Ghost upon the face of the earth. Yes, an outbreak. And even though the devil is fighting so much with coronavirus and the lies of the governments of many nations, it's not going to stop the outbreak. Because when something from the throne room is released into the earth, there's nothing you can do to stop it. Meanwhile, if there was any authority in the land of Israel those days to ensure that such an invasion doesn't take place, you know, Jesus, he said that this revival, it will begin from Jerusalem. He even told them the sequence of the flow of the river. Are you with me? Meanwhile, if you study Jewish culture very well, you will find that Jerusalem is not the place for it to start. Because there's too much of opposition in Jerusalem. Judaism has its seat in Jerusalem. And Jews don't convert. Do you understand? They don't convert to other religions. Is other religions convert to Judaism? They don't convert. It was the resurrection of Jesus that made staunch Jews to convert for the first time. Because people proselytes were people that converted from other things to become Jews. So the Jews were so proud about their estate and about the fact that they were children of Abraham. Now a move now comes, and then Jews convert from Judaism to that move. It's an impossibility. And God, knowing the power of the Spirit, said, let us begin from Jerusalem, which is an impossibility. You are not with me. You think Boko Haram will stop what is happening? You think a demonic government will stop it? I came to tell you right now that there has been the policy strategic meeting has ended in heaven. And what we are going to see is an outpouring. The outpouring has already started. A measure of it has started already. And if we have time, which we don't, I will explain to us the measures of this outpouring and what it's going to begin to do within the nations, among the nations of the world. He chose Jerusalem. See, that's where you start from. That's the greatest hindrance you can ever have. But that hindrance was nothing compared to the power that was released on the day of Pentecost. There was nothing that was going to stop that which God wanted to do. And in order to confirm it to them, he said the best place of this move will be the most difficult place. I know maybe your village. They say, that's where the original altar. Oh, just allow the Spirit of God to be poured out. Even a wilderness will become a forest. So God is very certain of the capacity that is in His Spirit. He's very certain of that. And so on the day of Pentecost, the strategic meeting, the policy meetings, they were concluded in heaven. And now it was time for those things that were concluded to be operationalized. The intent of God was held in the Spirit of God. And as the Spirit of God was dispatched from heaven, He was dispatched with a mandate. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. So He came to rule. That Spirit came to rule. He came as a ruling prince, as a ruling influence. So if by any means we partner with the Holy Ghost, the resultant effect will be the dominion mandate. But when that whole avalanche landed into the upper room, it was about to be discredited by people, by human analysts. And when they looked upon it, it didn't make sense intellectually. And the closest relative to what was going on was drunkenness. So they said, these ones are drunk. Not just with 3-3 export. Not with, what are they? 3-3 export is an old, that's the one I used to know. What do they drink now? They drink life. Okay, life. What? Those days, when we were in youth service, what they used to drink those days was Sazenbrow. Somebody's loving it. Hallelujah. There's something. This is not God. This is new wine. The reason why in the time of a revival we will need a special functionary to carry out a duty of interpretation is because the move of God must advance pari passu the ministry of an interpreter. When they finished shedding the lights that they had about what God was doing, and they concluded that this was drunkenness, not by rock lager, not by life lager, but by new wine, then the interpreter stood up. Grace is going to be released such that you will not only be a part of the move of God, but you will be able to, you will have deep understanding of that which God is doing, and you will be able to help others to stay in alignment. In his attempt at bringing perspective to what God was doing, he had to make a reference of a certain witness that was brought into focus by Joel. He said, these men are not drunken as you suppose.
The fact you say they are drunken doesn't mean they are drunken. But this is the fulfillment of that which Prophet Joel spake. Before I go to read what Prophet Joel spake, I need to tell you what God is doing in the entire picture. Are you with me? And that's the reason for which it was spoken before it happened. The reason why God likes speaking about things before they happen is because there are two types of history. There is human history, and there is divine history within human history. So when you have a revival, God wants to make history. He wants his fingerprint and his footprint upon the face of the earth to be remembered, just like we remember that Obasanjo was president. He wants a part in history, that he was the one that was responsible for this activity. He was the one that manifested here. He was the one that walked into this family. He was the one that entered into this nation. There is a line of history that God wants to litter across human history. And when God sovereignly begins to intervene on human affairs, it is because there is a line of history that God wants to superimpose. He wants to imprint upon history. And that's why it's spoken before it happens. He made reference to Joel. Just like your life. Are you with me? Oh, you're not with me. I hope you know, if you don't go closer to Jesus, you will not even know your essence. You will not know your meaning. So many people in this hall now don't know why they are existing. And that's a terrible place to be. But when you begin to go closer to Jesus, and you have a disclosure of Jesus, you will think it is Jesus you discovered. But in the revelation of Jesus that you secure, you discover yourself. Just like Peter. Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" No good response. Okay, who do you say I am? And then Peter said, "Well, I know that you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God." He stopped there. And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. Because you were able to secure a revelation of Jesus, you qualify to know who you are. You are what? Peter. And upon this Petra, I will build." If you read it in Greek, it makes more meaning. It's only in English it's confusing. He didn't build anything on Peter. "Thou art Petros." Peter, Petros. "And upon this Petra," upon this rock, and the rock he was talking about was the rock that Peter found, that revelation of Jesus was the rock Jesus was talking about, "upon that Petra, I will build my church." So the church was supposed to be built on the revelation of Christ. And if the church is built that way, the acid test that it is accurate is that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against her. And when we say gates in that context, Hebrew culture is affecting that scripture. Because according to Hebrew culture, the gates is the place where elders sit to take decision about a city. According to Hebrew culture, is what is decided at the gate that becomes obtainable in several families. So the gate is the place of authority, is the place of eldership, is the place of government. And so when Jesus said, if the church is built according to the revelation of Jesus, the authority and the government of hell would not prevail against us. Spirits want to govern. And the government of hell on the life of a believer, for instance, are you still with me? The government of hell, the manifestation of hell in the life of a believer, for instance, is to ensure that that believer lives another life apart from that which was ordained for them. So anything that the devil needs to do to ensure that you live out another life,
helps the kingdom of darkness to have a loophole in the overall agenda of God in our generation. So there's somewhat of a delay in that which God wants to do whole scale because you lost out. But because God is eternal and God finishes a thing before it starts, your losing out will not affect God's plan. Huh? God can wipe you out and wait for your child and use your child to replace that your vacuum. If he wants somebody from your family, I assure you he will get one. But it may not be you, but he will get one. God's plans are constant, but his men can change. So if you are in the service of God, it's a privilege. Because if you refuse to serve him, God can't lose. That's how he is. And that's why he has all knowledge. He knows who will replace you adequately. And that person will be better than you. Are you with me? So Satan and the gates of hell seek to prevail. But he said, if we are built up in the knowledge of Christ, that allowance will not be afforded the devil. God wants to make history. And the way God makes history is through men that choose to align with his spirit. So, the description of this book called Acts of the Apostles is a book that is written when men yield to the spirit of God. They throw away their own personal agendas and yield to the spirit of God. They become vessels through which God can make history. That which God does through them, are you with me? Is divine history. If they do not yield for God to use them, that divine history will not happen through their vessels. So that's why the book is called the Book of the Acts of the Apostles. But the real actor of this book is not the apostles, but the Holy Ghost that they yielded to. So anytime the Holy Spirit is given the right of way, God makes history upon the face of the earth. I came all this way in this Bible study to tell you that from 2021, God wants to make history. I know you have some books of great men like A.A. Allen, you read. God made history in those days. Those were the days of the bubonic plague. And bubonic plague is a close relative to what we call Ebola. It's a cousin to what we call Ebola. Ebola is a real angel of death, not COVID. COVID, you can be cured from COVID without taking drugs. COVID is actually a smaller relative to catarrh. And many of you had catarrh, you didn't take drugs, you were okay after 3 days. Yes, you were uneasy, but you could survive it. Are you with me? It's not something you even need drug for. I have many friends that were positive on COVID, and they hid it. And they got healed. Are you with me? So the whole world is upside down. Because the devil, who is their father, is a liar. Nations are lying. Nations. A whole nation is a body of lies. Wake up. Don't get lost with the world. It's a great distraction. What is happening from heaven is that God wants to make history. And you are going to be the instrument through which his spirit will register the intents of heaven. Remember, people will come to mock, to test your resolve, whether what you are doing is rooted in your convictions, whether what you are doing is rooted. Satan will send mockers around, and situations too can be mockers. I say, okay, if it is true that God is real, why are you like this? And there will be demons there to educate you according to the flesh. But what God needs is a vessel through whom he can make history. A lot of divine history is going to be made on the continent of Africa because God has decided to visit the continent that have been subjugated, have wealth stolen. People are drinking wine on the sweat of Africa. He said, all right, I know how to balance the scales. And so it is time for God to glorify himself on the continent of Africa because he wants to make history here. Now, Africa is that place where they say the devil is real. All kinds of witchcraft. People go to rivers to consult with deities. to instruct communities as to how the next instructions that came from the water goddess about our culture. Hallelujah. That's where God wants to make history. And if God wants to make history in Africa, it means that Satan is going to have a very hard time. Just if you align a bit, just the challenge is you now, you and me. Because the Holy Ghost can only act when there are actors that are aligned to allow him flow into human history. He wants to move in Africa. When he moved among the Americans, the days of Billy Sunday, in the days of Catherine Kuhlman, most of the texture of his movement was in the area of healing. Because the lands were bedeviled with infirmities. Yes, God will still heal among us. But beyond healing, you know, it's Africa. And he will move according to the context. There's going to be mighty deliverances. Mighty. I mean, communities, deities, crying out and say, we have lost our place. Yeah, the move of God in Africa is going to be consistent with the context of Africa. Part of the iniquity that many did to the church in Africa was that they went to the United States and took the template, their template, and brought to us. You are not with me. It was from that template, the American template, that we got this prosperity that has no purpose. Meanwhile, the extent to which God empowers you financially is the degree to which you are willing to be relevant to the expansion of his kingdom upon the face of the earth. What we're not told is that prosperity is a responsibility. It is not a means of living large. Somebody snapped a picture of himself in one of the hotels in Abuja and said, I'm living the life right now. Now, that's not the reason why God will prosper you. That's not the reason. Revival, come. 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 If you continue, I will prophesy. But I don't want to prophesy anything. Our pastors went to America. And when they came back with a theology that demons don't exist. That if you are operating in faith, your faith undoes the presence of demons. So there's no demon. So a believer cannot... Demons can attack him. It is because you are reading an English Bible. In Greek language, there's a word called diamon inzomai. It means to be demonized. Are you with me? I'm just telling you, see, there were flaws with the American gospel. God moved so mightily for many years. And the people that received the lively oracles died without passing the true gospel across. So what happened in America is that people picked fragments of the gospel. Someone picks faith. Someone picks one aspect. And then the body of Christ in Africa now is fragmented along doctrinal lines. Meanwhile, when I studied my Bible, I found out that all of this links to one great apostolic heritage. And when you decide to preach just one truth, you will go so far into error that at a point, if we all go our separate ways, at a point you'll be wondering if we are serving different gods. Hallelujah. Most of what people copied were things that were already running on the apostate level. The life has been squeezed out. And when we came to implement it here, it gave birth to debt, and it gave birth to greed, and it gave birth to oppression. Revival come.
Revival
And so there was a need for the leaders of the coming generation to have personal encounters with God. What knocks off error? There's nothing that knocks it off more than an encounter. Jesus comes to you and says, the light, you will just come alive quickly. So to forge the generation that God is launching now, he had to isolate people from a lot of existing stuff so that he could encounter them afresh.
So that you don't become a generation that takes an error to another level of excellence.
So people that have not had personal encounters with God are not too relevant now. Because they'll be speaking through the lens of a previous preacher. Meanwhile, God is bigger than preachers. So God is re-pioneering Christianity on Africa, on the African continent. Oh, you might think prayer is a known subject in the body of Christ until you call a PFM meeting for all Pentecostals from different denominations to come together, as it happened this early this year, and prayers were raised. Pentecostals were gathered. 15,000, 16,000 people could not take prayers beyond 15 minutes. No matter how you galvanize the prayer point, the shelf life of the prayer was predetermined. It was 15 minutes. It means that what we're teaching was no longer life applicable, because we have deviated from the foundational culture of our ancestors. Because the Bible says that they continued in prayer. So the burden became a burden of re-pioneering. And if you are going to re-pioneer, you must know Jesus. Because it will look as if you are swimming against the tide.
Revival come. Oh, revival come. Revival come. Come. Revival come. Come. Revival.
So, you will think the church is established in prayer until you bring all of us to IBB Square. You'll find out we lied. We taught many other things. Prayer is practical. Prayer, is not theoretical. Prayer is practice. In fact, you will not even know how to pray until you start praying. So, people were not taught prayer. People were not taught holiness. And the attendant discipline that destiny will require. Because the moment you have more money than you need, that's when you will know whether Jesus has conquered you. Oh, may you never have more money than you need. May you never. And if you are going to have, may the Lord conquer you first.
Amen.
I know that amen is weak, but I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. The healing anointing on your life can become the undoing for your soul. Yes. I've been around for long. I can tell you stories. Stories of how people got healed. And they say they don't have money. We don't have money to give you. But we can come to you. You sleep with us for 3 days. Yes. You know, if I say... Now I'm an elder. I don't think I'm lying.
Yes,
so I can speak plainly.
Yes.
I paid the price to be able to speak the truth. That same healing anointing will become a snare for your soul. That thing. If Jesus has not conquered you. And your loyalty to Jesus is more than glory. It's more than fame. It's more than money. If it's not more, you will come down like the rest. Meanwhile, that's what you are praying now, for God to give you the healing and all. Kapo. Yeah, kapo, bo, bo. Yeah, kapo. The moment God does a dramatic healing through your ministry, go back. That night, remember to go back and vow again. Cancer healed. Blindness healed. Satan will come. He said, you know with what you have? He will take you out of your calling. You will start doing something else. Because you were never Jesus's from the start. Your heart was not for him. And the things you were asking for was going to reveal the state of your heart in the process of time. Are you with me? And then when people that didn't have a bond with Jesus started moving in the supernatural and they saw the things he brings, women, money, influence, all of that, and they could not manage it, they now became fake. But that is how it is. Because we are not a continent of people that have encounters. We have a borrowed gospel. They brought it from people that their grandfather saw God. And we collected it and began to run with it without having encounters and depth and consecration and resolves that it was not going to die with us. We had not gone through all those processes. I remember some evangelists that came together and said that it's time for them. They've been in Nigeria for too long. They want to start international ministry. Their fornication began in Ghana. They didn't cross. They came back strange. The gospel changed. It had not found a root in the soul. Meanwhile, God wants to make history through men. There is no way you carry genuine anointing that is not produce glory. But the glory is producing is not about you, it's about the one that gave you the anointing. But it is you that will see behind it. And if you don't know Jesus enough, you will not come the next day and tell them, well, all what you saw yesterday, I don't know how it happened. You separate yourself from the glory that what is upon you is producing. If you don't have the maturity to do that, very soon you'll be walking like this. Like this. And the same things you prayed about will become your undoing. But God must walk through men. And so he came back to the continent of Africa to re-pioneer. I've seen preachers are a product of books that they read. They can quote this and quote that and quote that, but never quote Jesus. The days of quoting things are over. If you have not heard Jesus, go back. It's not too late. God has chosen our generation. So it is, destiny is not about time. It's about encounter. Oh, I've wasted. No, it's not. If you are still thinking in terms of time, you don't know the God of the Bible. It's at the age of 75 that Abraham decided to align with God. He still earned the title of the father of many nations, the friend of God, and what again? Father of faith. He began that journey at 75. By the time he was 90, he was a Colossus. It's not about time. It's about encounter. Go to South Africa and see. Because I've studied South African ministries. And then you see the lawlessness that is in the life of the preacher. He claims it's Jesus he's serving. Don't just be a fair lady in the congregation. If not, you are his girlfriend. Meanwhile, he claims it's Jesus. What he's doing it for something he can gain. The fallen nature. He's seeking a place in the kingdom. Meanwhile, flesh and blood, the Bible says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if the Lord is coming to Africa, people will need to re-pioneer his ways. His pathways will be built from scratch. Men that have encounter in the Holy Ghost and encounter in the Word of God will need to rise
People that are really living for Jesus. Not so that they can
make a list in a certain magazine.
Revival, come. Revival, come. Revival, come. And revival, come. Revival, come. Revival, come. Revival, come. When you begin to have personal encounters, that's when you will know that most of the Bible study outlines that was used to raise you are irrelevant. You should burn them. Yes. So I began to look for Jesus. Then when he comes, you know, some encounters you have with Jesus, you cannot, you will not be allowed to ask questions. Your initial encounters with Jesus will be unidirectional. He will come speak to you. He will come say things. He will come make decrees and go. A time comes where he gives you liberty. Then I started asking questions about doctrine. Are you the one that say people should? I didn't send them. Eh? You did? Then I found so many people took off like tornadoes. They don't have the stamp of Jesus. Unauthorized expressions. So if he moves in Africa, he will move through men that have first-hand encounters. These men will create a pathway with loyalty to Jesus and sincerity of heart to the generation God has called them to serve. This is the only way God can make history. And he begins to make history from next year. I mean, major history. And just like we have a book in the Bible called the Acts of the Apostles, and it will interest you to know that that book has not ended. Check the last page. Let's go there. What's the last page there? What does it say? Huh? That's Paul preaching the kingdom of God. And teaching those things that pertain to the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. No man forbade him. It means when you stay your ground for a long time, that demon operating through an institution, operating through a tribe, operating through men, operating through laws, operating through systems will bow. So I make bold to tell you that witchcraft, it will bow. Yes. Men will have to die because of revival. Many men will die this year. Many men will die because of revival. The reason why people are still arguing is because they are still alive.
Revival come.
He's going to set foot on the land. He's going to set foot on the land, and pioneers will be the result. I mean, stubborn people that have been made hardened by the Holy Ghost. And anything that is not of God will lack the ability to sway them from their calling. Even Satan will have moments of depression.
Woo! Revival come. Revival come.
Moments of depression.
Revival come. Revival come. Come. Revival come.
And just in case you are listening and you are under the sound of my voice, I'm sending a signal. You will become one of his foot soldiers too. To move his influence from place to place. Maybe you are in a community of witches, of warlocks, and they have threatened other people. Preachers before you died. This is God's time. And he will make for himself a great name. It is needful as a preacher of the gospel to take a solemn oath, a vow, that if men deserted you before, even under the blade, I will speak your kingdom. I will speak your glory. I will speak your name. The scripture to you. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, so their accent issues, their pronunciation deficiencies were still with them. Right? The anointing didn't take care of their pronunciation. The pronunciations were still cut and nailed. So they saw ignorance. They saw that they were unlearned men. They checked the dossiers of the schools and found their names absent. Wrote letters to Benue State University, University of Agriculture. And they never found their names in the lexicon of those that went through the ivory tower. But yet, they saw a boldness in them. They saw a boldness. The boldness overwhelmed the fact that they were unlearned. The boldness overwhelmed the fact that they were ignorant. They didn't have a degree of physics to their name, but there was this boldness. And they knew that this kind of boldness can only come from education. So since their names were not in the ivory tower of this world, they knew that the life and times of Jesus were spent on education. And it happens to be that they were with Jesus. They had been. There's a different layer of competence that being a friend of Jesus will give a man. See our nation today. The economy is a zero. And according to the economy, January, February, March is going to be hunger. I'm just reading the economy, the data. No financial policy for prosperity. No one. For years. No financial policy. How did we even survive till now? The recent monetary policy is that, okay, those platforms through which monies are sent from abroad, they are shut down. That's the monetary policy. To reduce money from entering your economy. Meanwhile, those are the experts. We need more than experts to help us. We need men that have been with Jesus, that are bold. There's a different line of competence that being with Jesus confers upon the soul of a man. The possibilities that abound with you just because you were found around Jesus are unthinkable. Many people ask me, what school did you attend to speak the way you do? I was with Jesus. That's the truth. But, you know, they don't like that. They want to hear Cambridge and Jesus. Jesus. They had been where? With you. So you are about to experience a transformation because we are going to exalt Jesus so much in the year to come that you will no longer be seen. He will make for himself a great name through your vessel. Can you, in the commitment of your prayers, tell Jesus, I want to be around you during the coming year. Oh my. Komina si trombes ko felama. Your glory will fade if you are away from Jesus. I want to be around you. It's not good enough. It is good to hear a preacher, but not good enough. You still need to hear Jesus. Means.
revival come, revival come, revival come, come, come. There's an among them, revival come. Salin among them, a mania, revival come. Revival come. Revival come. Revival come. Revival come. Revival come. Send him over here. Different lines of competence that will be bestowed upon you just because you spend sufficient time at the feet of Jesus. Oh! Oh! It will make up for your lack of education. It will make up for your inability to speak fluently. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. I will transform you. I will make you great. I love a study. Education, a line of mastery that Jesus will give you, a line of wisdom, a line of inspiration, something different from what you picked up from the physics class, from the chemistry class, from the mathematics class, a competence that comes by the conferment of the grace of God that He will place upon your life. The Bible says that they took notice that they had been with Jesus. So we commit to be with Jesus in the year ahead of us. For the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Strength to stay with Him. Strength to speak with Him. strength to tarry with him, strength to groan before him. They took notice. They had been with Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Job chapter 33, if you have your Bible, just there is a competence he will give you beyond everything you have naturally, beyond your beauty, beyond your intelligence, beyond your capacity, beyond your abilities. Just staying around him will give you a cutting edge. A cutting edge, a place of authority with which you can manifest his glory and extend the frontiers of his kingdom and his influence. Oh my. Now I want to read a scripture to us. Job 33 verse 18. He keepeth back his soul from the beat, and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul daintily meat. His flesh is consumed away, that he cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth nigh unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. But the Bible says, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he shall be gracious unto him, and seeth deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found the ransom. He said death will set in. Normal protocol of decay will begin to find expression. But if you can secure an interpreter, and these interpreters are in short supply, the Bible says you will find only one in a thousand men. If that interpreter should show up and should utter words, he will be gathered back from the grave. You see, in the move of God, there is a need for an interpreter. That's what Peter did on the day of Pentecost, to bring perspective. Oh my. Can we pray today that God will make you the interpreter? If not God, there are many people that the devil will put them in conditions that they will not be able to see God again. What they see is darkness. What they see is gloominess and gross darkness. Until an interpreter shows up. Until a vessel that speaks from the place Zion comes upon the scene. Then his light is shed. And the Bible says that it is in his light that we see light. You will never have a correct perspective until it sheds light. That's the ministry of the interpreter. That's what every preacher must become in this day. An interpreter. One in a thousand. Oh my God. His ministry will dispense light, and the confusion will be gathered away. Even his bones that are sticking out, they will be restored. Just because there is an interpreter. Can we ask that God will deposit that grace to be able to see what his hand is doing and to proclaim it? Sai compelis evrisco meka bulamatale. When you come upon the scene, then clarity is imparted. The confusions break. Bondages lose their hold on the souls of men. A passageway is created for the Holy Ghost to begin to hover upon their lives, upon their circumstances, upon their territories. You will be his messenger. You will be his tool. He will send you to proclaim his counsel. Revival come. We need an interpreter. A functionary that can bring the perspective of God in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of broad darkness, when it's as if all hope is lost, then, because of an utterance, the Spirit of God begins to hover upon the waters again. We need an interpreter. Suddenly the Lord comes and he begins to hover. He begins to hover. He begins to hover. He begins to hover. He begins to move. Oh. Sing it one more time. send ye forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they shall deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father, he shall speak to you. Oh. Oh, oh, oh. Oh. The Spirit. The Spirit of your Father, he will speak. That's what church is supposed to be. An excuse for the Spirit of our Father to speak. Expressly. He said, take no thought when they bring you before the governors and the kings. Take no thought what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour. This is a preacher that comes to the podium in a big conference, has no message. But he receives something in that same. Can you trust that God is the God of that same hour? He can breathe upon you suddenly. It may be that everything you wrote in your note is too weak for what God wants to say. And God needs to go beyond your note. Can you trust the God of that same hour? For the Spirit of your Father, he shall speak through you. Oh my God. In 2021, the Lord wants to speak through you. Not necessarily through the preacher, but through you. The Spirit of your Father. Oh my God. We need that yieldedness that will give him the right of way to pour out his strength through you. Through you. Through you. Through you. Through you. Can you give him permission? Say, my vessel is available. You can flow expressly. You can unveil your counsel. You can bring your mind to bear. Asiko bresko velama haya komba seli. Aha! He dwells in the midst of the cherubims. Shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. He who dwells, he who dwells. Therapy, shine forth.
shine forth.
He no longer wants to be hidden. He wants to shine.
In the midst of the terrible.